5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to Carl Zapatista. The Carl Zapatista Show, here on the radio, on the podcast.
Hi everybody, it's Carl Zapatista back here again for another classic episode, taking you on a trip down memory lane, remembering some classic thoughts and recollections of the glory days of our previous years. And, well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that what I normally do is take you, as I mentioned, no more than 8 to 15 seconds ago. We take you on a journey down memory lane and we look at some of the great things that have formed us to become the people we are today. So whether you're a dustbin man or a high court judge, there's something here for everybody. And, well, today there certainly is something here for everybody because we're getting closer to Christmas, which is a time everyone can relate to. Unless, of course, you don't celebrate Christmas, or you've never heard of Christmas, or you're just not interested in Christmas. But if you are one of the people that has heard of Christmas, that does celebrate Christmas, and is, you know, alternately interested in Christmas, then we've really got some great things for you today. We've, as they say, technically pulled out all of the stops, and we're really going for it. I mean, everybody knows this time of year, you're out there doing your shopping or you're getting your tree ready or you're just writing a list for Santa, if you believe he exists. Of course, he doesn't. But yeah, you know, I am a big fan of it and I love it all when the nights are drawing in and you're getting cosy. You're having your hot chocolate, you've got your heating on. If you can afford it, of course, controversial, but a fact at the moment. You know, but once you're indoors and the evenings are drawing in, there's no better way of relaxing than just getting in the Christmas spirit of things. And of course, for many of us, that involves smoking. You know, I think we all enjoy a cigarette from time to time, don't we? I know I certainly enjoy smoking Regal. It's been my favourite brand for years now, like, and I've always enjoyed nothing more than having a reg in the Christmas months. I do find in the summer I do slow down on my smoking. Just the warm weather doesn't tend to fit in so well just with the habit. It's too warm, ain't it? You know, if you ever try smoking a reg on a really hot day, it does tend to do you in a bit, unless you've got a cold drink. But if you, for example, just, you know, if you go into Alton Towers for a day trip and it's the middle of the summer with, you know, 22 degrees plus, there's a lot of exposed concrete there and the heat does bounce back, you know, from the floor back up on you. You're in shorts and t-shirt, and even if you're wearing a sun hat, you're going to get dehydrated, and just having a couple of cigarettes there is really going to take it out of you. So, you know, naturally, I do gear more towards smoking my reg in the winter. They just tend to go down better. That's just for me personally. Some smokers will just chuff them all day, regardless of the weather or where they are. But well, with Christmas being here, you know, I always enjoy what I call a Christmas cigarette, which has become a bit of a tradition for me personally over the years. You know, as a young lad, we would always put the ashtray out and a couple of cigarettes for Santa to have on his break whilst delivering all the presents to all the other children around the world. And it was always a joy every morning, really, to wake up and see, you know, those two cigarette end in the ashtray, and knowing that Santa has stopped off for a quick reg on the way, topped himself up with a bit, of the old tobacco and then headed off to deliver the treats. And of course, in exchange for that, we got loads of wicked toys and stuff from him. You know, just for those two cigarettes, I got a Millennium Falcon one year when I was chuffed to fuck, like. But of course, as time goes on, we realise Santa's not real, and that tradition still does live on. You may call me an old romantic at heart, but every Christmas I'll pop a couple of cigarettes on the side with an ashtray, and of course then later on in the evening I'll creep downstairs about 1:30 a.m. well, between 1:30 a.m. and around about 2:45, with the excitement and all the buzz of Christmas, chilling out a bit there just to have those reg myself and reflect on the year, you know, look back on what we've been up to and how far we've come as people and as a society as a whole. And there's nothing more satisfying than sitting in your own front room with the heating on, with all the doors closed and the curtains drawn, you know, with something on the TV, and just enjoying a puff on a cigarette. Is there? I think we can all agree on that. There's clearly nothing better than smoking indoors in the winter months. But of course, it's not all sort of fun and fancifulness. You know, there is an element to smoking that can be dangerous. And something I thought I'd raise awareness of this year was the fact that smoking indoors can lead to house fires, which in turn could burn you to death, or your family, or both you and your family, or at least even an animal. Or I mean, just in general, could leave a small scorch mark on the carpet if you get to it in time before it engulfs the rest of the house in flames and deadly carcinogenic fumes. But it's something we should all take time out this Christmas season to make sure, if you are going to have a cigarette indoors, make sure you do it responsibly. And it's not just me saying this, you know, people have been aware of the dangers of smoking indoors during the winter months, or any month really, for years now. And I think one of the first times it really came to light for me was through the medium of television. And of course, those films they used to show us when we was younger on the TV, telling us about the dangers of doing things like, you know, throwing frisbees into electric pylons, going swimming in open bodies of water unsupervised, or just trying to wire a plug unprofessionally. We learned a lot from them, and there's some great memories we've carried with us throughout our lifetimes, and they've educated us. And of course, today the idea of smoking is something that we do take much more seriously now, even if we are Christmas smokers who enjoy a secret puff on Christmas Eve. So without further ado, I'd love to play you one of my favourite Christmas memories. It always brings a Christmas cheer out for me. Hang on a minute, sorry. Hang on. Wait, no. No, not this later. Sorry, that bit, what you heard there was a biff that's coming up later in the show, so don't worry about that, we'll get to that later. Onwards and upwards, I'm going to play you the clip now that means the most Christmassy thing to me this time of year, of course, is, well, it's one of the most famous adverts to ever be heard by anyone who's watching television over the Christmas period. So without further ado, here's my favourite, well, basically I'm going to do all my favourite Christmas memories, but this first up is the favourite memory of Christmas from this past few previous years. Smoking adverts on television. Here we go.
You'd best not smoke at all, but smoking in bed is like lighting a slow fuse. It'll get you in the end. Even if you're wide awake, sober and sensible, it's easy to drop some burning ash. It'll smolder, and you may not smell a thing. It'll give off fumes that will make you dopey. When later it flares up, you may be too far gone to escape. Smoking in bed is like lighting a slow fuse. Don't do it.
Strong views, powerfully held, but, you know, rightfully so. It's something we've all got to take into account if we are smoking indoors this summer. And I probably can guarantee that, besides just myself, you yourself probably know someone who's damaged their house, their home, their family by smoking. I, for example, knew a lad that used to smoke in bed every Christmas. And one Christmas day he woke up and the cigarette had been in the bed and he'd rolled over on it and it had gone out on him and it had burned the sheet somewhat. The cigarette was stuck to his body the next day, but he weren't burned. So he was lucky, he got out alive. Not so positive on that. I know another lad who did something very similar by smoking in bed with a series of candles around him. He was of a bohemian bent. And Well, that didn't work out so well for him. A few drinks on Christmas Eve, popped home, lit a few romantic candles, enjoyed a cigarette in bed, and actually passed out, only to find he burnt his left nipple off completely. And I went low, a lot of jokes were said about him in a pub afterwards. He did live, but he's disfigured for the rest of his life. And, you know, too mentally unstable from the effects of that to even dare going swimming or taking his top off in the summer now. So it clearly shows that smoking in bed can be bad for you. But it's not all doom and gloom. We're here to take you on a journey into the world of Christmas.
You're listening to Carl Zapatista.
Got to say, before I go any further, that feature actually hasn't finished. There was a second part to it, which you're always going to do. It's not just that advert there about smoking. That was just an example of one of the ones I remember. But if you lived in another part of the world, like, there would have been different styles of adverts stopping you from smoking. And doing my research, I found a very interesting one from the Ireland, which is... it's like Scotland or Wales or England, but it's called Ireland, and that's it's a short journey away from the mainland bit of the UK. But I found a very interesting smoking video from them, which I thought I'd feature on this as well, so bear with me a moment.
Smoking in bed is a dangerous habit. Smoke your last one downstairs.
Short and to the point. You know, that's what I've always admired about the Irish. They're, you know, they are very factual people, straight to the point there, and a lot more effective in some ways in informing you that if you are going to smoke indoors, make sure you have your last one downstairs. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how that would... I mean, in some ways, smoking the last cigarette downstairs could just result in a small fire building while you're asleep, thus releasing carcinogenic fumes into the lower regions of the house, slowly creeping up the stairwell into the hallway. And then, of course, by the time they invade your bedroom, you are technically going to suffocate to death. But I see what they're saying there. Just be a bit more careful when it comes to the idea of smoking over the Christmas period. Anyway, that is now actually the end of the feature, so let's move on to the next bit of the show.
You're listening to Carl Zapatista.
Well, it's certainly getting cold out there, and I hope you're all cozy and cozied in at the moment. Whatever you're doing, whether it's wrapping presents or enjoying a couple of cans or watching maybe an Only Fools and Horses Christmas special. Incidentally, quick facts about me. I've never seen the Christmas special of Only Fools and Horses called The Jolly Boys Outing. I do know that it involves them going on a boat, on a journey, don't it? But I've never watched that. If you've seen it, why not tweet at the Demon Seed Podcast? I've seen it. And then I can tell which of the listeners have seen it or not. And if we ever come across each other in reality, we can discuss it. Or even I could come back to you, and I won't bother with that. But yeah, it's just something you can do. Right, well, let's have a look now. Bit of what we call housekeeping here in the tree. And of course, that's this feature now, is favourite items on television. Of course, over the years, Christmas has forged many great memories for all of us, whether it's watching Star Wars on Christmas Day, ignoring the Queen's speech, or just having a sleep to a war film. Christmas plays an integral role to everybody's Christmas television plays an integral role to everybody's Christmas, don't it? And I think we've all got our favourites at Christmas, whether it's watching Frank Boff dressed as a sailor doing backflips on one of the it wasn't the two Ronnies, was it? Is the other lads? Whether it's watching that, whether it's seeing, for example, just the afternoon news headlines, but when they finished, the ITN logo's got a bit of holly on it. Or is seeing something brand new that's been specially commissioned for the television. There's always something for everybody at Christmas. And I personally, although I do like a lot of the new stuff, not too fussed on Doctor Who, but it is for kids anyway. I do like the old classics. And sometimes at Christmas, if there's nothing on the TV, I'll often go on YouTube, which is a video service online where you can upload different films you've made or clips of VHSs you've stored over the years, and other people can watch them. Excuse me. And quite often I'll go I'll go on then around about Christmas and I'll watch some of my favourites. And of course, something I always like to dig out is Stars in Their Eyes, which, if you've never heard of it before, was a TV programme that was very popular in the 90s, hosted by Matthew Kelly. I think there was a couple of presenters, but I was there for what I call the golden age of Matthew Kelly presenting it. I think the bloke from 321 did it. He's dead now. Leslie Crowther originally, but, you know, I didn't bother watching any of them. But I certainly did watch a load of them when Matthew Kelly was doing it. And of course, Christmas was always good with that, because throughout the year they'd have different members of the public would come on, they'd interview them, and then of course the reason they were on there was because they would impersonate a famous star. So often you'd see an accountant who was David Bowie, a lollipop lady who was, for example, Tina Turner. And Christmas, of course, they get all the cream of the crop, all the best ones you've seen, and they'd run it all together in a really big Christmas episode. And they'd have all the stars doing Christmas hits. And I'll never forget, going back to probably about 93, there was a great Christmas episode on there, which you may have seen yourself. And I'm going to play a bit of a game with you now, actually. One of my favourite ones ever was on there. And, well, what I thought I'd do, because it's Christmas, we'd have a little game of Stars in Their Eyes between us. And what I'm going to do is play the clip where the guest comes on. And he's interviewed by Matthew Kelly. And after that, when he says, "Who are you going to be tonight?" Or sorry, what I used to say was, "Tonight I'm going to be Matthew." When he says that, I'm going to stop it. And I'll give you 5 or 10 seconds to guess who he is. And then I'll go into it from there. So without further ado, let's play, basically, right? Let's play Stars in Their Eyes, Christmas edition with Cal Zapatista. So here we go.
Well, one of your favourites from the last series was a man from Widnes, the head of a quiet little family, just him, the 5 kids, the 30 rabbits, the dogs, and, of course, not forgetting the ferrets. Please welcome back Brendan Mullarkey!
Hi, Brendan.
Welcome to the party. Oh,
thank you.
How's the family?
Oh, fantastic.
Good, yeah?
Well, good.
Lovely. It is a family show, I suppose. Yeah. What did you get the ferrets for Christmas? Because they're so difficult to buy for, I think.
Yeah, Matthew. Mm. Just fed them.
Interesting. So, you've actually been mistaken for the person that you're going to be tonight, haven't you? What happened?
I was, actually. I was asked, could you give me 2 free tickets for your concert in Wales? I said, certainly, if you give us that hat. So, I got the hat. But you didn't get the tickets.
Well, it's an easy mistake to make, because you do look very like the person that you're going to sing us tonight. Now, I'm sure everybody's remembered here who you're going to be, but for those of you who haven't or who were out when we were on, naughty, naughty. Who are you going to be tonight?
Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be...
Well, clearly, you know, just a bit of fun and games here. Brendan Mullarkey there being introduced. And if you could see him, you would agree that he does look like the person he's going to play. But can you guess who he is? Well, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to give you 5 or 10 seconds to guess. If you're using social networking, you could type the name of who you think it is now and address it to @TheDemonSeed. Do you think, for example, it's Luke Goss? Just type that in, @TheDemonSeed, Luke Goss. Or do you think maybe it's Sting? Again, you can just type @TheDemonSeed and the word Sting. And it's just a bit of fun for social networking. But, well, clearly that's filled a bit of time up. You've had a bit of a chance to guess. I've got to say, this is one of my favourite Christmas memories of all time. One of my favourite entrances to... Stars in Their Eyes with Matthew Kelly, the golden era, as I mentioned. So without further ado, I will reveal to you in my Christmas... Sorry about that. That's the jingle, the sting, that comes later. So without further ado, let's all, ladies and gentlemen, one of my favourite Christmas memories of all time from Stars in Their Eyes Christmas Special 1993. What was his name again? David, whatever his name was. As a real person, I'm about to reveal to you who he's being on Stars on Their Eyes.
Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be David Essex.
Of course you are, just an old girl. Well, it's a lovely seasonal wonder, so it's cold and wintry and everything. Tonight, singing live once again, Brendan Mullarkey is David Essex.
Well, clearly, I mean, it was a brilliant episode, and you're probably kicking yourself now thinking, why didn't I stay in to watch that in 1993 on Christmas? So, well, you know, if you did miss it, for one and all, I hope you're all having a great Christmas. But the programme's not over yet, still loads left to come. But I thought, let's not waste any more time. Let's hear it. Let's hear David, whatever his name was, singing his song of David Essex, A Christmas. You're listening to Carl Zapatista. Stunning work there. I mean, you can hear the crowd clearly going wild. It was a brilliant performance. I think Matthew Kelly comes in at this point and actually, you know, says his goodbyes, and just to hear the very kind words that he mentions at the end now, this just sums it up in so many ways.
That's a dry eye in the house with all in blood. The Christmas hit from 1982. And thanks to the children of Great Moor Junior School and, of course, to Brenda Malarkey singing for us as David Essex.
David Essex there from, well, Brenda Malarkey, and, of course, all the kids from that school he mentioned who must have, you know, really must have had a Christmas made up a treat there. Have you ever been to school? Let us know. Just tweet at the Demon Seed Pod. You know, if you've been to school, let us know. Just type "I've been to school," and you know, if you've got any Christmas memories that are on a par with that, you know, I'm sure I'd be happy to share them with you over the pint. Saying that, I'm not travelling further than the end of my road to meet people I've never met before on the internet. Some of you could be a danger, I don't know, but as long as you're happy listening to this podcast and no one's being harmed, then fair enough. But you know, without further ado, let's move on to the next feature of the show.
You're listening to Carl Zapatista.
Look, I'm on wrong microphone there, sorry. Well, you know, Christmas, as we all know, is not always a time of cheer and laughter. There can be a dark side to Christmas. Things like human trafficking, murder, extortion, they all go on all year round, and that's very sad when you think of that when you're chilling out at home, you know, with all your Ferrero Rochers and all. Not everybody enjoys Christmas as much as I or yourself does, and it's something you've got to take into account. So as I did last year, Well, I didn't, because I didn't do this last year. But last year, the Demon Sea podcast did. It played a very hard, a very emotional letter written by somebody about how Christmas affects them. And I think a lot of you might have gone over your heads, or you just didn't hear it because you don't listen to the podcast. But I thought this year, let's bring it back. It was a letter found on the internet written by someone who clearly was not best pleased with Christmas. Well, I think it's only right that we spare a bit of time for those people who find Christmas challenging. You know, they may have had something terrible happen to them, or they just might be miserable in general and just not like, you know, the stuff we do. But I thought this is a very poignant letter written by somebody regarding Christmas and how it's not always the way it is, why you want it to be. So really, without further ado, if you bear with me, I mean, saying that, I must be honest with you, I was hoping to fill a full 30 minutes tonight on the podcast, and I'm just running in at under 24 minutes and 35 seconds at the moment, so I'll just keep talking for a bit. But yeah, I mean, actually, no, saying that, the amount of talking I've just done is probably filling this up enough that I can drop straight into the next feature, which is called, I call it Christmas Letter.
Dear Santa, you're not going to turn up again this year, are you? It was just the same with the Tooth Fairy earlier this year when I had a wisdom tooth removed. Christmas just isn't what it used to be. Even as I begin typing this, Santa, some warm-hearted pillock has just knocked on my door and separated me from another £2 of my hard-earned cash for a crappy snowman pin badge in aid of some hitherto unheard-of charity caring for unspecified children suffering unspecified misfortunes in unspecified locations. He's probably just screwed me over. I reckon he's walking down the street laughing his tits off and planning to put my money towards a mighty Christmas piss-up in the next village. But in this season of goodwill to all men, I couldn't exactly tell him to shove his little snowman up his ice hole, although tempting that might have been. And now, to make matters worse, the sellotape dispenser has gone missing again. Little wonder when we have a spare room dedicated to the art of industrial scale wrapping and known at this time of year as the wrapping room. I mean, it's not as if we have a huge family or hundreds of friends, but it's like the Amazon.com warehouse in there. No wonder my beloved family can't find the bloody sellotape. Try aisle 36. Cheap presents for distant relatives. God, I hate Christmas. I mean, people do such weird things at Christmas. By way of example, my wife and daughter have erected in our living room an 8-foot-tall, largely plastic replica of a pine tree. Having first rearranged all the furniture to accommodate it, they then covered said replica tree in shiny balls of glass and plastic, following which they spent 2 hours untangling about 40 yards of lights and establishing which of the 400 little bulbs didn't work. Having finally located the broken bulb, they spent a further 2 hours locating the spare ones before they finally got the lights working. They tell me that they enjoy this annual ritual. I hate the Christmas tree ritual. The only time I enjoyed the Christmas tree ritual was when we bought a real pine tree and unbeknownst to us there was a bat asleep inside of the tree. Its peaceful hibernation was rudely interrupted when the 400 little lights were switched on and it began screeching around the living room at 400 miles per hour, spraying bat droppings as it went. Seeing my wife hit the floor in less than a nanosecond attempting to lie as flat as a sheet of lasagna was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Since we got the plastic tree, it just hasn't been the same. However, despite the undeniable artificiality of the tree, the cat now thinks that the living room is a garden, in that the cat also thinks that the garden is a toilet. This is far from ideal. As a result, the cat and I do not get on well at Christmas. At Christmas, the world goes completely crazy. Why is it that at Christmas we can never get enough satsumas? At any other time of the year, no one gives a stuff about these crappy, nondescript citrus fruits, but at this time of the year, the entire country starts buying huge orange string bags full of the bloody things, as if our very lives depended on it. Why? The same goes for mulled wine. 11 months of the year, and we're content to drink our Blanc chilled or at room temperature. December arrives, and suddenly we're boiling it up and sticking cloves and cinnamon sticks in it. And you know what? It's bloody disgusting. It's like drinking hot potpourri. And then there's the Christmas turkey. Why in God's name do hundreds of millions of people eat this pug, ugly and completely tasteless bird on the same day each year? Why, for instance, don't we eat penguins? I mean, there are millions and millions of them. David Attenborough said so. At least they go with the artificial snow filling every shop window in the country. And why do we have to eat sprouts? Nobody likes sprouts. In January, there are landfill sites all over the UK overflowing with leftover bloody sprouts. Personally, I'd rather have a curry. I hate Christmas dinner. I hate Christmas cards too. My wife sends Christmas cards to people we haven't seen for 30 years. Some of them are probably dead. The rest have probably moved house half a dozen times. I mean, she's sending hundreds of Christmas cards to complete bloody strangers all over the world. Most of all, though, I hate Christmas songs. There's simply no escape from the mind-numbing, all-pervading crappiness emanating, it seems, from every single loudspeaker in the world. Every time I hear Rudolph the Red-Nosed Bloody Reindeer, I want to rip his antlers off and stab myself with them. And after putting up with all of that, do you know what I get for Christmas, Santa? I get debts. That's what. Great big red-nosed credit card debts with bloody jingle bells on. And all because you can't be asked to show up. You lazy twat. Yours, Anthony. P.S. Merry Christmas.
Well, there you go. That's from Anthony there, who's clearly not a Christmas lover. Don't matter. You know, there's room for everybody in the inn or the barn or wherever Jesus slept. But that, incidentally, comes from a website called Dear Customers... DearCustomerRelations.com. You can go on it, you can read all sorts of letters. There's one about diarrhea that's really funny. But, you know, that's something I thought that would round the Christmas special I'm running here for you today off quite nicely. So, as I sign off for another Christmas, to be honest, I'll probably be back here next week because, you know, nobody else turns up, do they? Yeah, anyway, thanks for coming. Hope you've all had a great time, or at least just filled half an hour of your life up. And you've probably got a lot more to do, but have a great Christmas. Don't smoke in bed. Try and listen to David Essex if you can. And if you are a miserable fucker, it's your own fault, mate. Happy Christmas, everybody. Turn it off.